Hi guys. So I'm sorry in advance about the crappy audio quality. I am using my laptop mic, which I will try and clean the sound up on, but obviously it's not going to be like as good as my expensive microphone. Sorry in advance for that. But let's have a look. So 5 weeks ago, Oh boy, I get back to these things so quickly. 5 weeks ago, I did an AMA, and I basically it was just the wrong time. I had like exams, and then I was really busy with like work stuff. So basically, just everything got in the way, and I didn't manage to get it out. So because obviously because I'm recording it now. Like which I'm sure you're smart enough to figure out because yeah. Okay, so already this AMA is a mess, but let's get into it. So, Miss, there we go. Miss Naughty Cupcake asks, I have just one question for you. Do you love the term Aussie kiss as much as I do? Because, oh my God, I die whenever I hear it. And unfortunately, I have heard far too many tradies and bogans and just undesirables say it in that quintessentially bogan way that it has lost its appeal for me. So I'm sorry. No, it's not appealing for me. And actually, I cringe a little bit when I hear it. For anyone who didn't know, an Aussie kiss is like a French kiss, but down under. Next, we have Mr. Myth of Bacon, who asks, Hi there, little teapot. Hello, Mr. Bacon. What is your favorite kind of spooky creature? And, well, I mean, I'm going to say the first one that comes to my head, and by spooky, I'm going to assume mythological. And it has always been the centaur ever since I was teeny tiny. I think because of in Fantasia, they had the, like the centaur creatures running around in Fantasia. And I watched that when I was a kid, and I was all like, oh my God, they're so beautiful. And I really liked it. So, yes. Centaurs for mythological creature. For something a little bit more spooky, I might have to actually think. And, it's probably, weirdly enough, the banshee. I like it more than pretty much any other spooky creature. Because when I was little, I don't remember the movie, but it's this old Irish movie. And basically, stuff happens, and this guy's, I think his daughter dies, and the banshee, he hears the banshee's wail, and the banshee comes to collect his daughter, and I believe he then pursues the banshee to try and get his daughter back, but I watched it when I was very young, so I don't really remember. Have you ever encountered a drop bear? How can you protect yourself from them? Well, basically, in primary school, we're all exposed to drop bears. They have captive drop bears that they bring into primary school, which I suppose is called elementary school in America. So yeah, they bring them into primary school. They're captive and they have all of their fangs removed and their claws removed so that they can't, hurt anyone. But basically, we learn drop bear survival and self-defense classes so that we know what not to do and basically how to defend ourselves against them. It's taught pretty much in conjunction with crocodile wrestling classes. So yeah, from a pretty young age. But I mean, you have to be Aussie. Like a lot of people who immigrate to Australia, they miss these classes because, they don't go to primary school in Australia. And that is, I mean, that's, there's a reason they're the formative years, the important time to get good learning in. So, you know, what, not much you can do. But for foreigners coming over to Australia, don't ever leave your house or your hotel. And even then, it's not guaranteed, but, you know, you're safer than going out. What is spoopy and crappy in Australia? Do the ghoulies and ghosties run away from the terrifying wildlife? Well, in Australia, we have the Yowie, which is Y-O-W-I-E. Any Aussies listening will be very familiar with the little chocolates, which were essentially kind of like the crappy Australian version of Kinder Surprise. So we got the within the, you know, the chocolate shell that was shaped like a, I don't know, I suppose you can compare them to like Scandinavian trolls, you know. It's kind of the same kind of, I don't know, spirit to it. So they're kind of shaped like cartoon yowies. And inside the little yowies, they have little eggs or, you know, little plastic containers that they've got toys in. Sometimes you can assemble the toys. Sometimes they're just fully formed little, you know, little statuettes, I suppose. But, yeah, so that's getting a little bit off topic. But, yeah, if you have a look at a lot of Aussie Dreamtime stories are really interesting with the antagonistic characters. So honestly, there are just so many different beings or evil beings within within the Aboriginal Dreamtime stories. It's really interesting. I would definitely suggest like looking up in your free time when you're interested, and if you have, you know, any interest in learning about spooky stuff. Mm-hmm. Another one from Mr. Myth of Bacon. If I had all the time and money to put into costumes, what would be your ideal scary costume and ideal sexy costume? Would they be the same thing? Oh, that's a really tough question, Mr. Bacon. Sorry, excuse all the kind of weird noises. I am lying on a leather couch. Ideal spooky costume would probably be something, I don't know. I really like zombie effects. I feel like they're probably overdone these days, but I would love to kind of come up with an original kind of scary creature that I do a lot of special effects makeup for, you know, because I like to think I'm pretty good with it. I'm not as good as some people. Like on YouTube, you look and it's like they fucking transform their entire face into this like horrifying mangle, and it's amazing. And they're so talented, but, you know, I'm still learning. But I'd love to basically just experiment like crazy with special effects makeup and, yeah, just do something like absolutely mental, like out of a nightmare. In terms of sexy Halloween costumes, there's like no judgment or whatever. I think they're really boring, and that might just be me, because I don't know. You can look sexy any day of the week, you know? You can, I don't know. If you really want to walk around in lingerie, just do it. Why use Halloween as an excuse? Because there are people who actually put shit tons of effort into their, well, maybe that's a little bit mean. I think a lot of the girls who do the sexy look probably put a lot of effort in. But, I mean, do you know what I mean? I'm one of those lame people that always dress up, like, you know, go all out for costume parties or Halloween parties. So when I see people walk in like a shift, you know, and it's like, well, did you do like 15 minutes to get ready? I put like fucking 3 hours into this thing. And anyway, that's just me. Could you give us a little lesson in Aussie slang? See, this is such a tough. Oh, and Twisted Little Kitten adds, when you do the slang, do the most bogan impression you can. That is actually a really tough thing because Aussie slang, I suppose, is kind of incorporated into everyday life to the point that I don't really think about it. So when people are like, oh, yeah, do us a, you know, give us some Aussie slang, it's always kind of putting me on the spot. Because I'm not very good at thinking on my feet, and I don't really talk like an Australian. Most Australians can tell I've got something else in me, or I'm from somewhere else, because my accent is a little bit diluted. Yes. But let me think. So, we have a cocky, which can be a cockatoo bird, which is native to Australia, by the way. A lot of people don't know that, which I find very surprising, but they are native to Australia. Or it can be a farmer. If you want to learn to speak Aussie pretty, like, effectively, all you need to do is shorten words and then add an O to the end. So, for example, a gas station, which in Australia we call a service station, is a servo. The afternoon is the arvo. Your lunch break would be called smoko. What's another one? Arvo, servo, smoko, bottle-o for the bottle shop, or the liquor store. Yes, that's pretty much it. Names of your friends are normally their last name. With shortened with an O at the end of it. So, for example, if you had a friend called Matthew Hamilton, you would call him Hammo. We actually have an island called Hamilton Island that everyone calls Hammo. In Western Australia, there's an island called Rottnest that everyone calls Rotto. So it's pretty much, you know, you get the idea. What's a good slang? One I use a lot is I'll call people dags. You know, like, oh, you being such a dag, or it's pretty much just, well, I mean, the origin, you probably wouldn't say I'm very nice because I'm essentially calling them a turd that is hanging on the ass of a sheep, but it's almost an affectionate term that kind of means you're silly or you're like, you're lame, you're, you know, it's the same kind of vein as calling someone a silly billy. We also have, like a silly duffer is the same kind of idea to it. I'm not very good with slang, unfortunately. And I'm sorry, Twisted Little Kitten, I can't do bogan impressions. I just get too self-loathing. So that's the end of that question. The next one is from Miss Twisted Little Kitten, and her question is, can you point your fingers and do the twist? And I actually always preferred Wake Up Jeff to Can You Point Your Fingers and Do the Twist, and also Fruit Salad, because that was pretty bomb and I really liked Anthony. Have you ever trick or treated? I have. The first time I went, I got an egg pelted at my leg and the shell actually lodged in my leg by some miracle. And I got an infection. So I didn't go trick or treating again, but I escorted, a few kids that I know around while they trick or treated. So, you know. Would you rather have skin like a frog or a head like a cassowary? Well, I don't know if you have ever seen a cassowary, but cassowaries are fucking terrifying. They are scary birds. They're big and they're not, then, yeah, they're scary. So I think I would rather have skin like a frog because that would also give me a good excuse to stay in the pool all day, every day, and my skin would never get wrinkly. So, you know, win-win. definitely not bats asked. Have you ever, felt like this? Have strange things happen? Are you going round a twist? Have you ever, felt like this? Have strange things happen? Are you going round a twist? Well, have you heard the word about the bird and the spider? It wiggled and wriggled and jiggled inside her. Well, next one is from Mecha Activated, and they go, do you worry about the various types of creatures that roam around Australia, e.g. spiders, snakes, Tony Abbott, or do you not really think about them too much? Well, I think when, you know, you've got a few snakes and spiders in Parliament, you know, you got to you got to kind of think about them. And unfortunately, we just elected another snake. Sorry about any, I'm not making any political statements, I'm sorry. but, yeah. I don't really worry about the ones that, you know, are outside on the ground. It's more when they get into positions of power that I worry. But, yeah, most of the time, if you... most Aussies know the precautions to take to avoid being harmed by the majority of creatures, at least in an like a suburban setting. When you're out in the country, it gets a little bit more difficult because you've got stuff like dugites and they're big venomous snakes, and you've got king browns and. You also have taipans, which, you know, if you didn't know, are also big venomous snakes. So, next question. What is a food or meal that you would say distinctly represents Australia? Well, that's easy. Meat pies with tomato sauce. Simple and definitely Australia. Finally, the most pressing question. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. The answer is oi, oi, oi. Mr. Toaster Parade asks, what is your favorite melee weapon? And I would say, my favorite melee weapon. I'm assuming we're going to be speaking in the context of Left 4 Dead, which was my shit when it was, like, popular. Absolutely loved it, played it all the time. So my favorite melee weapon was not a melee weapon because I played Left 4 Dead 1 and I didn't play Left 4 Dead 2 like a peasant. Teapot, where is your handle and where is your spout? My spout is my mouth and my handle is my butt. I don't know. According to certain sources, you shout when you get all steamed up. Why is this? Basically, there is too much stupidity in the world, and eventually it, you know, just boils my blood, and I gotta yell about it to let people know. What extra bits, hem-hem, would you have installed on your body if the technology was available? I would get... I don't know. I don't know, honestly. Probably, like, giant mecha wings, like, so I could just fly around and it would be awesome and I could just go traveling all the time. Or, like, maybe, like, rocket boots, like, you know, not like boots, like rockets in my heels, because then I could go flying. There seems to be, I'm terrified of heights, by the way, so this is like all a terrible plan. What aspect of sci-fi, fantasy, your fave genre, do you find most cool about said genre? Sci-fi, I like the, some sci-fi is super out there, and I really like the kind of the creativity it takes to get to some of the things these people invent, whereas some of it is closer to home, and I like the kind of, this is where we could be, and this is problems, or problems we might have with it, or problems it might solve. So, for example, stuff like Black Mirror, that's all kind of believable enough sci-fi that it's really interesting, because it, Black Mirror in particular, highlights problems with it, or with society and with the technology within society. Whereas stuff like Farscape comes out with giant living ships, you know, something like completely out there, which I thought was really, really cool the first time I saw it. So I suppose it's all about the exercising of imagination, and also the pragmatic aspects of the integration of that imagination, if you understand what I mean. I also enjoy fantasy, but I wouldn't say I enjoy it as much as sci-fi. Sci-fi and horror are probably my favorite genres. And I enjoy horror because I just enjoy, it's kind of cheesy most of the time, and sometimes it's kind of spooky, and I just enjoy it, you know? Do you have a fursona or scale sona, etc.? No, I don't. Okay, next is Miss Melt. Have you ever hit a roux? Do you have roux bars on your car? Do you have a pet roux? I have never hit a roux because I don't go country driving. I have a tiny little city car, so I don't really know. I don't have roux bars on it. And do I have a pet roux? No, but I do have a roux sanctuary just down the road. Can we get together and throw another shrimp on the barbie, sing, piss and play two up? So we're getting together on Anzac Day, are we? But yeah, Miss Melt is taking a piss because Aussies do not ever call them shrimp. They only ever call them prawns. So, okay, here are my actual proper questions. If you were to name one piece of clothing that describes you, what would it be? Oh, that's a tough question. Probably my bras. I drop a lot of money on my bras. Not so much like the lower part of the lingerie, but I really like investing in a good bra. Tell us about your worst date ever. Okay, so not the one that I mentioned on 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Basically, I've never been on a date. I've always been the initiator in all of my relationships, and it always kind of came from a place of existing friendship. So we never really went on dates as much as we just kind of group chilled, like, all the time. So I've never actually been on a date. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Yep. Have you ever kept a New Year's resolution? And if so, what was it? I have not. Unfortunately. I'm sorry. I'm a weak-willed lady. I have no willpower whatsoever. I am working on that, though. That's my New Year's resolution, is to work on my willpower. No. Sorry. Are you a Tim Tam purist, or are you into the different flavors? Look, I appreciate two flavors, okay? And that is the dark chocolate Tim Tam and the caramel Tim Tam. But other than those two, they're all just shit. And it's just, I'm basically a purist. I do like the double-coated original flavor, though. You know, with, like, it's got a bunch more chocolate on the outside, so it's nice. But I will not have, I tried the espresso martini once. That just tasted like shit. Yeah, I've tried the pineapple. Like, I try them to kind of see how terrible they are. And they're invariably always terrible. So I would say I'm a purist. Alf Stewart or Harold Bishop? Well, I grew up with Harold, but I'm going to say Alf Stewart because he's got a pretty swanky rape dungeon.
So, your family rape dungeon, you cunt.
Next from Mr. Dreadspace. What is your opinion on Tasmania? True Australians, degenerate hill people who should secede, or actually just New Zealanders in disguise? This is a question of national security. Well, Mr. Dreadspace, I think that Tasmanians, through their dedicated work making us chocolate and cheese, have earned their place with the rest of us true Australians. Okay. Next question. How big is too big a crowd, if there is such a thing? Where are you on the scale of introversion to extroversion? I'm pretty introverted. I don't like shopping on crowded days. Pretty much, I mean, you know, it depends really on how many people I know in a crowd and also how tightly we're packed. But I like big gatherings of friends, but I do not like lots of strangers. Even four or five strangers in a shop make me feel a little bit uncomfortable if I can't get straight to the exit. So it's just me. Did you go to schoolies? And if so, did you enjoy it? I didn't. I went abroad instead. So yeah, I've never experienced schoolies. Honestly, I didn't really want to because of the alcohol and drugs. I'm one of those like classic good girls. I didn't drink until I turned 18, and then I tried red wine. The first time I got properly drunk, I was 20. No, sorry, I lie. I was nearly 20. That was the first time I got properly drunk. So just I'm not a wild child, and schoolies didn't suit me. Next one from Miss Penny for your tort bod. She goes, Hi, Miss Penny. One, where is your handle and where is your spout? I believe I answered that before, but I shall reiterate. My handle is my butt because it's nice and round and grabbable. And where is your spout? And that's my mouth. Favorite Halloween tradition, sit and eat the candy that I buy for the trick-or-treaters because we invariably never get any, and watch scary movies. Normally I'll watch Nightmare Before Christmas and horror movies. So, your dream GWA scenario you haven't heard yet. It's really tough. My criteria for my perfect audio is going to be very difficult to fulfill. I know a lot of recorders have actually given it a shot, but they kind of fell flat. And for me, it's kind of, let me think if I can describe it well. I'm better in writing because my brain kind of goes at one speed and my mouth tries to kind of go ahead of it. And I just always end up tripping over my words or forming incomplete ideas out loud. So basically, I like intimate settings with like a gentle MDOM kind of thing going on. I don't like abuse or like humiliation, degradation, all that extreme stuff. I don't really care for it. I like the idea, the perfect audio is an intimate waking up to cunnilingus scene. And then that has multiple orgasms within it, with encouragement and praise throughout. Moves into like intimate sex and then kind of basking in the afterglow after a cream pie. That's my favorite. That is my dream audio. But a lot of guys are giving it a shot and they think that multiple orgasms mean rapid fire orgasms, which isn't really, I mean, like they give like maybe a minute or two between each thing with the cunnilingus sounds. And it's like, I can't do that, you know? It's tough. I mean, I don't blame them. It's not exactly easy to put into practice, but you know, I guess that's why it's called a fantasy. Yes. Anyway, thank you for your questions, Miss Penny. Next one is the Huddy Next Door. Her questions are, outside of Sydney or the Great Barrier Reef, give us some Aussie travel recommendations from a local. In Queensland, I would suggest visiting the Daintree Forest, which is north of Cairns, I believe. Going south, you should visit Townsville. I've heard it's come up a long way and it's got some nice places to visit, actually. It's all along the eastern coast, so it's very pretty. Down, there's a lovely place inland called Yungala that's absolutely beautiful, top of a mountain in the middle of a rainforest, and it's just so beautiful. There's at the right time of year, if they've had a lot of rain, there's like waterfalls and everything as you drive up. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Then further down, there's obviously Brisbane, and I don't know much south of Brisbane, but I know in New South Wales you've got a lot of wineries, which are nice to visit. Not sure about Victoria, Tasmania. They have the Cadbury, factory. So there's lots of chocolate and stuff. Going around, I'm not sure about the big middle section of Australia, so I'm sorry, South Australia, I don't know anything about you. Going over to Western Australia, it's really, really nice down south in Albany and Denmark. Beautiful, beautiful, it's just green and lush and quite cool most of the time. At the right time of year, it doesn't get too hot. But yeah, beautiful beaches there. Absolutely gorgeous beaches. Going up from Albany, you've got a bunch of places, actually. I'm not sure where a lot of these places are in relation to each other, but there's... Actually, yeah, I think that's north. Yeah. Places like Coral Bay, absolutely beautiful. Monkey Maya, also very beautiful. All of this is on the beach. So if that's kind of what you're into, that's what Australia is good for. There's Rottnest Island that I mentioned before. Drawing a gigantic blank, but essentially, if you go around, further north in Western Australia, there's the Kimberleys, which are beautiful, and then obviously there's Uluru, also known as Ayers Rock, and then there's a bunch of other places within the country. I mean, Australia is so jam-packed, it's so big that it's got a million places to visit and you'll never get bored. My family members have actually done, they do yearly tours around Australia in a caravan and they drive around and they just love it. Next one, please say g'day wallaby, didgeridoo, Sheila, and crikey. I hope that was good. 4 spooky points. Describe a most fearful event in your life or possibly in your GWA adventures. I don't have a very scary life. I do think I used to live in a haunted house when I was younger, but I can't really say much more than that without being too specific to the point that I could be easily identified. So I think I used to live in a haunted house when I was younger. It was kind of spooky all day, every day. And even my father, who is very pragmatic and not... he's not into all that spooky afterlife stuff. He thought there was something in there because it felt off. Next one. How do the content tags you like to listen to on GWA compare to the content tags you like to perform? Well, I like to perform FDOM mainly. Doesn't reflect me at all because I'm like hardcore F sub. So I mainly only listen to that. I also really enjoy performing rape and non-conscripts. Kind of everything I do is non-con or like pressuring. Basically everything I perform is not what I'm actually into, but I enjoy performing it because I feel like it's fun to put on that persona, I suppose. Yeah. So then again, yeah. When I'm listening, I like to assume my F sub form, I suppose, and just kind of bask in the adoration of the recorder. But when I'm recording, I love being a meme dom, because it's fun. And I suppose it's mainly what I'm like when I do the F dom thing. So yeah, yeah. Have you ever recorded I'm a Little Teapot for us to hear? Or can you sing it for us now? All right. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Tip me over and pour me out. Yay. Okay. Thanks for your questions, Miss Hottie. Mr. Gone Deep gives a bit of a backstory. I got to visit Melbourne for a week earlier this year and got as far as the 12 Apostles on the Great Ocean Road. While sporting around with my middle brother and his wife, my parents left far behind, we got to Lockhart, George, where in 1878, two survivors of a shipwreck swam to shore, a ship's apprentice and a lady passenger. As the two of them took selfies and couples photos, I climbed this tall bit of rock and sat near the top, looking out and imagining the scene of that fateful night. A young man, a slightly older woman, both not over 30, a sky filled with uncaring stars as the rest of the ship's complement died in the cold waters offshore, to be scattered all over the reefs by the strong currents and worried to bits by sharks and other fish. The two would have died too, if not for some bits of flotsam already ashore. They spent a night by a fire and not touching each other, and the apprentice went off to a sheep farm a few miles inland where they got help and news of the accident got out to the rest of the world. My questions. Would you have cried like I did over the imagined horror and terror of the accident? I'm not exactly an emotional person in public, I suppose. It would have been a sad story for me, but I suppose no is the short answer. If it were you, would you have kept your distance or fucked each other senseless? I have to admit I would have tried to make love to her. Probably not. Honestly, I'm a survivalist by nature. I just, yeah, no. I would have focused on other things, honestly. Is going on a solo motorbike trek on the Great Ocean Road a good idea? Would you join me? You could go. I wouldn't because, A, my skin would turn red and blistered within about 20 minutes of being in the open sun, and B, it's too hot, man. It's too hot, okay? I want to lie in the air conditioning. Motorbikes don't have air conditioning. It was a car trip, like, maybe, but, like, probably not, though, because, I mean, I can't watch Netflix in the car in the country where there's no reception. Like, come on, man. I live in the first world. Oh, my God, that's a horrible thing to say. Okay, before I get any more offensive, I think that is the end of all the questions. And, oh, wow, the recording's still going this time. I've tried recording this 3 times, and every time Audacity kind of cut off in the middle of it. So I didn't actually, like, get to the end of the question. Well, I got to the end of the questions every time, but, like, it was all cut off and none of my answers were recorded. Like, bullshit, right? But anyway, thank you for listening. And that's all my all the questions that were asked. And if you have any more questions or you are curious about any points, feel free to ask in the questions. Also, press that subscribe button and like. I'm apparently a YouTuber now. No, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I get self-conscious and then I act like an idiot. So, yes, thank you for listening. That's the end of this now. Bye.